good evening, everyone. Or, if you're listening to the podcast, how are you enjoying life under our new insect overlords? With me in the studio this evening, hiding under their desks, we have...
I'm Wilma Fingerdy, and I've never said a bad word about those lovely Thargoids.
I'm Mia Harkness, and I'd like to apologise to the Thargoids if I've ever accidentally blown one or two up, which I haven't, so it's fine. But anyway.
I'm Juan Kerr, and I wish I'd gone exploring with Commander Chicks.
I'm Norma Snuckers, and if any of those eight-tangled menaces come near me, they'll know what'll happen.
If you're happy and you know it, don't buy a clipper.
Don't worry, Naughty. Size isn't everything.
If that's Mr. Dusty, I'm a-getting out of here.
Twilight Barkers to the rescue.
Atrus 5060 is back, and he's got a little list.
Faction, distraction, inaction, reaction.
I'm reading this as part of my community service.
Commander Happy Moon Monkey knows what it is to be happy. Very happy. And sad. Also sad. So very, very sad. Recently, this commander has shown what it's like to come into money. Stop that sniggering. You know what I mean. And to lose money hand over fist. Ugh, yes, I said fist. What are you, five? Look, Happy Moon Monkey doesn't know we're talking about him because he's currently over 8,000 light years from Sol and getting further away every minute. So we're telling this tale so that you'll know to treat him gently when he returns. Last week, Happy Moon Monkey was just pleasantly happy. Not ecstatic, just your normal, everyday kind of happy. Then the roller coaster started. Coming to Hutton to bring some scrap and doggy treats for Alvin, Happy Moon Monkey was distracted. He says it was by a squirrel, but we find that it's as unlikely as the tails of a collar that allows a dog to speak. After all, Snow knows perfectly well what Alvin requires, without a word of English issuing from our leader's snout. FYI, it's food. Anyway, sorry, we seem to have drifted a bit there. Yes, Happy Moon Monkey was distracted, and so proceeded to use his ship's emergency braking system, which involves hitting the general area of Pad 3 at speed, wincing, going, oh shit, watching the ship bounce back a little, and then staring intently at the shield generator going, please, 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 as it heads towards zero. We could have run our main reactor with the embarrassed heat that came from Happy Moon Monkey's face that day, and he took off as soon as he could with a muffled, sorry, I'll pay for the damages, gotta go by. He was gone. So, you remember tales of disgraced sons of the gentry leaving and joining the French Foreign Legion, where no one knew your name? No, neither do we. But Happy Moon Monkey did the equivalent by throwing himself into a CG with more skill than he threw himself at Hutton, and ended up earning 5 billion credits. There are maxims about fools, money, and the brief time that they occupy the same vicinity, and this was proven once again as the ship salesmen of the galaxy rubbed their hands in anticipatory glee and promised our lad that this ship would jump further than a fleet carrier, and that this ship would bring down Tharg the Mighty himself. And of course, all of them have more cup holders than could be required at a galactic tea drinkers convention. Drunk on success, the endorphins generated by buying many, many ships, plus the complimentary sparkling drinks of dubious origin, with which he'd been plied, Happy Moon Monkey took his shiny gold-plated Corvette out for a spin. And a rebuy. And a spin. And a rebuy. And after the third time that this happened, he immediately realized that he wasn't ready for the Corvette. He was like a noob who tried to dogfight with the anaconda he's earned from his first afternoon's mining profits. severely chastened and metaphorically emulating the guy walking home from the casino, still wearing his black tie outfit, the tie itself undone and hanging loose, a half-finished bottle of champagne held loosely in one hand, Happy Moon Monkey decided that he'd had enough of people for the moment. So he switched from his formal wear to an explorer's outfit, which we understand may be t-shirt and pants, trousers optional. And in 2 days, he's gone more than 8,000 light years. Whilst his notoriety, not the kind that the Pilots Federation cares about, but the far more important social notoriety, dies down. So please remember to be kind when you see Happy Moon Monkey next. His tail could so easily be yours. He sent a message to say that he'll be back to the bubble soon, but he might swing by the center of the galaxy first. So many icy bodies to scan.
Major General Noctivagus has been publishing photographs of what appear to be bonsai drinking vessels, but keeping their purpose close to his beribboned chest for the moment. Maybe the Major is preparing to fill his gut, his Farragut, which we've mentioned here once or twice, is, as you'll recall, not exactly enormous. If you took a video of someone standing on a planet looking up at as Nocti's Farragut flew by, majestically overhead, to be frank, you need the reactions of a fruit fly, 5 milliseconds in case you're interested in expanding your knowledge, to be able to stop the tape in time to see the ship actually appear in shot. Never one to let life's vicissitudes get him down, which explains the mirrors that still exist in the Major's quarters, maybe Nocti has decided that he's going to find a crew that'll fit. Of course, he's thinking ahead. Maybe that the Hanky cloning program can be adapted to make teeny tiny pilots. Maybe he can train termites to wear the correct uniform. But one thing he does know, whatever the origin of his miniature spacefarers, they will need mugs. We think that his crew will probably be swept from the most wretched hive of scum and villainy in the galaxy, though, as we can see that some of his mugs are obviously designed to be chained to the furniture to prevent theft. Well, we'll be keeping our eyes on Nocti, and we'll keep you up to date for any news from that quarter, or 16th in this case.
We thought that it was a coincidence that Commander Chix was covering Van Marlen's star during the same week that glitches started appearing in the Matrix. Yes, our reality was tested this week, and even though I took the blue pill, things looked decidedly odd, as if my brain had a little less blood to work with than usual. We came very close, dear listeners and watchers, to the end of days, a catastrophe that makes the loss of the Tower of London Ravens a thing of naught. If the dinosaurs had known what that increasingly bright light was in the sky in their last moments on Earth, they would not have known fear as great as that which swept around the orbital today. Mr. Dusty, that artificially intelligent appliance, that Thane Bane, the sucker more feared than a dredger's Mortclaw Scrotors, had infiltrated the home of everyone's favourite pilot, Flossie herself.
I'm Mr. Dusty. Give me your trash.
Thank you. In Flossie's connected home, the Mr. Dusty virus could and did wreak havoc. Doors locked and unlocked, the toilet flushed whenever Wrong Way spoke the word parking, and the smart display was set permanently to play loops of salt-laden galaxy commentators. Worst of all, the virus had disrupted communications and Flossie was forced to cry for help via a very poor data connection, made by making Wrong Way stand on the roof, facing Hutton with an unfolded coat hanger in his teeth and a 5mm plug up his jacksie, and even then she could only transmit in black and white. In the hours that led up to our broadcast tonight, the remaining presenters have been huddled round a battery-operated Ouija board trying to keep Flossie's spirits up, all dreading the possible outcome. For it is said in ancient texts, such as Woman's Weekly, that if Flossie is not present at the recording of the Hutton Orbital Radio News, the universe's creator will realise that her plan has been completed and that there is no point in keeping it going any further. At which point, the universe as we know it will be neatly folded away. You do know it's a myth about women and maps, don't you? Apart from needing to turn around to read it, of course. And whatever comes next as a hobby for the supreme being, such as bell ringing, will commence. This is, of course, known as the Big Clang Theory.
Commanders Throwian, Lirilei, Nemb, or NEMB, and Infinite Dreamer, riding high on the mention in last week's show, plus a fresh supply of rum, have been out, doing good for Hutton this week. 330 million worth of ring mining expansion mission for Hutton in Epsilon Indy, to be exact. On Sunday, the ragtag crew took on missions that Infinite Dreamer had stacked up during the previous week. Missions that required commodities that could be bought instead of actually mined, and paid up to 50 million. The wing was formed consisting of Infinite Dreamer in a cutter, NEMB in a T9, Lirilei in a T6, and Throwian in her brand new Python named Evergreen, presumably as a tribute to her skills at getting wedged in the toast track. Their efforts helped Hutton, and Throwian Lirilei became allied with Hutton and also a lot richer. Despite the obstacles placed in their way by the galaxy, they performed like true truckers and did it for the mug.
Good evening, truckers. HS5060 here, and I'm afraid I have terrible news to deliver once again. The Thargoids have returned in force. And good Lord, do they seem angry. The sneaky buggers have launched attacks across the outer reaches of human space, lovely, showing that our expansion into the nebulas surrounding the bubble is still not welcomed. Incursions are present in the following systems. HIP 18390, Celiano, Atlas, HR 1183, Delphi, Pleiades Sector HRW D174. Ooh, they don't write numbers like that anymore. Musca Dark Region PJP B6-1. That's -1. Coalsack Sector VU-OB6-6. HIP, we've had one of these. HIP 62154. HIP hooray! 18390. And the unforgettable, what's the name? Coalsack Sector KN-S. B4-9. Ooh, I took a holiday to Coalsack Sector KN-S B4-9 once before humanity had settled it. I thought it was a great system with lots of interesting rocks on a few planets. The wife thought it was absolute rubbish, but I digress. Massive Thargoid presence has been detected in all these systems, and Hack's wing is needed once more to help repel the bugs. If shooting Thargoids isn't your preferred method of helping, there are plenty of damaged stations in those systems that need evacuating. Ooh, that reminds me, I must go. After the incursions have ended, repairs will also be needed at the damaged stations. So there's plenty to do, truckers. There are several interesting aspects of this latest attack. For the first time, a system in the California Nebula has been attacked, which previously had been left alone by the Thargoids. Oh, going to California must be a holiday, I don't know. In addition to that, the mysterious figure Salvation, who you may recall from the Galnet article surrounding the discovery of the Hesperesperus, has released a message. Canon boffins, because they're so clever, were quick to decode it after sobering up from their binging of gin and biscuits during the period of peace. Gin. It read, React, react, react. That's all ages ever do. We need a solution. Now, several theories are emerging around who Salvation could possibly be. But it is clear that this person, or persons, being correct, is clearly well-informed and has access to top-secret information. Stay alert, truckers, because we still don't have any clear-cut information on who Salvation is or whether they really mean to help us. Good luck out there, before the mug.
Incoming encrypted transmission. Decrypting. Decryption complete.
Stand by for a message from Haxcom Actual.
Commander Took? Hello? You there?
Yes, Corporal, I'm here. I'm out in Lumen 16. Lael has me out here hunting down pirates. Apparently they've been using this galaxy-forsaken system as a base to attack Hutton Commerce. I'm so glad we got rid of this system.
Sir, sorry, but there's an Aegis alert. New attacks by Tharg, and it looks pretty big.
How big, Riley?
10 systems so far, sir. They've hit the Pleiades, the Coalsack Nebula, heck, even the California Nebula has an attack.
Tharg isn't playing around, is he? Okay, Riley, get the alert system ready and set it to relay from this channel.
Oh, I've already done that, sir. It's all fired up and ready to go.
Wait, you've already turned it on? It's already transmitting.
Yes, sir. Took care of that just before I called you.
Riley, you know that automatically relays to Studio 5, right? And that the radio team immediately rebroadcasts it in full without editing.
Well, yes, sir. Of course they do, sir. Oh.
Okay, Hackswing, this is not a drill. Tharg has come back and hit us hard. Looks like Aegis dropped the ball as usual. No Eagle Eye warnings, no incursions, just an all-out attack. Our initial goal will be to drive Tharg back in the Pleiades to help Operation Ida be ready for station repairs. We'll make our initial stand in the Sulano system, followed by the Atlas system. It's been a while, so here's a refresher for you. You can hunt Goids by looking for non-human signal sources. Threats 3 and 4 will be scouts only, and you can take them on with basic AX autocannons. Higher threat levels will be larger number of scouts, interceptors, or both. To fight the interceptors, you'll want Guardian-based weapons, especially if you're taking them on alone. Then there are the AX conflict zones. AXCZs will usually start out with waves of scouts, then you'll probably have some Cyclops interceptors, and then sometimes you'll have one of the really big boy Goids. You're best off working with a wing of commanders to clear out an AXCZ. If you want to help but you're not an AX combat pilot, the burning stations and the attack systems need evac ships to remove civilians and non-essential personnel. Remember that Tharg tends to lose interest in a system if most of the people in an attack station have been removed. Guess once the sardine tin is empty, it's not many more use to him. And once the fires are out, Operation Ida is going to need help hauling repair supplies. There's something for everyone to do in this fight, Commanders. Good luck out there, truckers. Watch your six, keep your eyes on the signal sources, and defend the mug.
Hexcom message complete. Defend the mug.
And encrypted transmission.
No Odyssey distractions this week. You all seem to have been distracted by the other distractions, which I'll get to in a moment. Four systems are below 40% this week. The perennial underachiever Barnard Star is enjoying a cigarette as its post-election euphoria subsides, but an election that Hutton won convincingly against 10th Fleet taking control of Cutner's Pride, a surface starport, so well done to the numerous truckers that took part. Last week, Epsilon Eridani was suffering from an outbreak of space lurgy, and still is. Come on, guys, sort it out. Book a landing pad appointment and ship in some meds. Last week's laggards, Wolf 1481 and PSPF-LF2, have recovered somewhat, but pirates have managed to get a foothold in the system that almost rhymes with mishaps. So get in there and show Commander Jack Sparrow, who runs things around here. Briefly, they showed up during the week in LHS 340 and were shown the door. The revolving door. Don't let it hit you in the Uranus on the way out. The regular infrastructure failure in WISE 0855-0714 was resolved and given the dodgy replacement components installed. Will fail again in approximately 47 days, 16 hours and 25 minutes. Give or take, according to dodgy Ron in the maintenance office, which is 10 minutes after he goes off shifts, and as we know, callouts are paid at double time. It's funny how their tea and coffee machine never breaks down. I'm not certain if you're all taking a leaf out of Flossie's book and have all suddenly shunned combat, but we lost the war in Hutton's recent expansion into Wolf 437 by 4 days to none. Sorry, to one. At the top end of the Hutton Systems League, 7 systems are above 60%, with 3 above 70, and will no doubt expand somewhere soon. Oh, it's all so predictable. Meanwhile, Archduke Hanky, he of the fastest fleet carrier in the Western Orion Arm, reports that Colonia is down a little, but all is well on schedule and lickety-split. But ask that passengers ring the bell only once and well before their stop. We still need to leave Hotel Carson and Ari, where complaints have been received about commanders not emerging from their rooms for meals, as if they have temporarily lost the use of their legs. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, relieve the outbreak in Epsilon Eridani. If you want to shoot something, clear the pirates out of PSPF-LF2. And we still need to exit Carson and Ari, so help any of the factions there except Hutton.
Time now to keep you up to date with events organised and led by the community. Eris Maidlung, champion of the Hurry Up and Wait mythology, has decided to wait. Wait for walking about permits to be issued before making the trip back to the bubble to allow his passengers to make some first footfall claims before they come back to top up on essential supplies, like spacesuits. So if you rushed back to the FTM Isfahan last week, eager to get back to the bubble, the unexpected news is that you've got another week to look around the Fleet Carrier's gift shop for a last minute, or to be precise, last 10,080 minutes, gift for your loved ones. After all, what says I love you and I missed you more than a present with the witty message, I voted to send the Isfahan back into the black, and all that I got was this lousy t-shirt. Commander Mephisto has sent us a very tired carrier pigeon with an update of his expedition. Over the 9th week of the Comfy Cannon cruise, the Conchu jumped over 35,000 light-years from the eastern reaches of the Milky Way towards Colonia to rendezvous with the fleet carrier Angel Share. This vessel was generously sent from the bubble by Commander Illyrium, who spent over 1.5 billion credits employing the tritium depot to fill it up to the brim with tritium. In a swift operation, passengers moved the stuff over to the refuel Conchu, thanking the donor for having saved them from hours of mining. Today the crew's resumed course and is expected to have made the last over 13,000 light-years to Asura shortly after this radio show. After a few weeks in the Colonia bubble, the Conchu will venture out again to explore the galactic centre. Details at bit.ly/comfycannoncruise. It's CQC Saturday in a few days, organised by Commander Shoreside Customs and open to all platforms. Come out for our monthly CQC events. This is great practice for people with no combat experience, as there is no rebuy. This event will take place at 1600 EST, which is 2100 UK time. Details on our Facebook events page, which is being linked in the chat. In a move that should surprise no one, the Elite Races have had a ship race this weekend. It's on Sunday, May the 16th, 1800 UTC, in game time, at Barrett Hub, Lalandi 22701. Practice laps are encouraged, and if you want to get involved, details are at the Elite Races Elite Dangerous Racing Club Discord in the announcements channel. Now, some reminders of upcoming events that we've covered in detail before. First, on May the 22nd at 2100 BST, that's 2100 UTC, Commander Venetia has organised what he's calling the Texas Lakon Massacre, and he describes it thus. In honour of all that Bucknecked has done on the radio show for the Hutton Truckers and his love of Lakon Spaceways, we'll be using a T7 to mine and act as bait for pirates in a Hazres in Wolf 1481. The T7 will be escorted by two small ships and a medium ship of your choosing. The goal is to defend the T7 while it mines and racks up some bounties with the escort ships. Details are on our Facebook events page, which is again being linked in the chat. The Deep Space Network set off on June the 4th for the Artemis The Deep Space Network sets off on June the 4th for the Artemis Biological Survey 2 to travel around the inner Orion Spur to explore the stellar systems in search of new biological features and exceptional geological formations in partnership with Vista Genomics. They return July the 11th, and details, including their Discord, being operated jointly in English and in French, can be found at bit.ly/ArtemisSurvey2. And don't forget the July the 14th hanky party celebrating his 6th fleet carrier, scheduled on our Facebook events page. Again, the link is posted in the chat. And that's all we have for community-led events. Think we missed one? Then let us know about it and we'll include it in a future show.